May the words of my lips and meditations of all our hearts be forever accepted in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Please would you sit. Here we are at the end of another church year. The church year starts again next Sunday on Advent Sunday. But rather than going out with a whimper, we go out with a bang. We celebrate Christ the King, God our Sovereign. Hope you'll excuse me, I'm going to start with a little bit of a potted history lesson. Where do we get that God our Sovereign from? Comes directly from Scripture. At the very beginning of Genesis, God creates all we have out of nothing. God says, let there be light, and there is light. From chaos, we have the beauty that surrounds us. God chooses certain individuals to be in relationship with. Initially, Eve and Adam, who turn away from God. Then down through Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. From Jacob, we have the 12 tribes of Israel. The family with whom God enters into relationship, the family who regard God as their sovereign. That family goes into exile in Egypt and comes out no longer a family but a nation under the leadership of Moses, the first judge. And Israel continues with judges for many years until they get to the judge Samuel. And the people of Israel turn to Samuel and say, we don't want a judge anymore. We want to be like everybody else around us and we want a king. Samuel, as all the judges have done before, turns to God and says, God, you have asked me to lead this people, to direct this people on your behalf. You are the sovereign. What is your answer to the people's question? God says, Samuel, it's not you that they have betrayed in rejecting the judges of Israel. It is me that they have betrayed because they have said, we no longer recognize our divine sovereign. We instead want a human sovereign. And that will not go well. The people insist and God gives them their way. The first king, Saul, mucks it up very quickly and turns away from God and rejects God's leadership and teaching. And God appoints David, still recognized by the people of Israel as possibly the best king they've ever had. It is David who chooses the city of Jerusalem and appoints that as Zion, as God's resting place. It is David who unites the 12 tribes of Israel and makes one nation. David conquers all the nations around. And God enters into a covenant with David and says, one of your descendants will reign over the people of Israel, not just for a human lifespan, but for eternity. We know the history. The people of Israel turn away from God repeatedly, and their kings turn away from God repeatedly. And yet those kings and the prophets who try to guide them are the shepherds of Israel that Jeremiah talks about in the lesson that we haven't heard yet this morning. Those prophets write and tell us that there will be a Messiah, a descendant of David, a new sovereign. As Christians, we believe that Jesus fulfills all those prophecies. And you will no doubt hear some of those prophecies during the season of Advent as we prepare for the birth of Christ the King at Christmas. So, Christ has that heritage as our sovereign. But a question that's perhaps pertinent to the whole of British society at this time is, what kind of king do we want? What kind of king are we hoping for? What kind of king is going to lead us, God's chosen people? Now, if I asked you for a straw poll of images that come to your mind when I talk about the sovereignty of God, perhaps you would think of the Sistine Chapel in Rome. Perhaps you would think of other religious art down to the centuries that presents the sovereignty of God as the Ancient of Days. Long flowing hair, white flowing robe, sat on a throne in glory, surrounded by angels, having a wonderful party. It's quite a difficult concept for us to get our heads around. Certainly my little brain doesn't work very well on that one, despite the artwork that gives us those images. Looking at the titles that Jesus gave himself whilst here on earth, we find Christ the Servant King. We find the Son of Man. Jesus tells those who want to follow him, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. We also describe Jesus as the Good Shepherd, and in Jeremiah, Jeremiah talks about the Good Shepherd who will lead the people. The wonderful thing about Jesus is that Jesus is not leading only God's chosen people, Israel, but going back to those prophets, is leading the people of every nation, you and me and all people across the world, irrespective of their culture and background. And so we claim Christ as our sovereign, and Christ who leads all the people in the way that God intends. So we are called to live following Jesus' example. Now, as a military chaplain, I turn very frequently to my own military experience and the experience I see in the soldiers around me. And when I think about leadership, I think about Sandhurst, where I trained as an officer, as a chaplain, and where all the British Army officers train, and we also train people from other nations as well. The motto of Sandhurst is serve to lead, which for me ties straight back into that Christian teaching of the servant king. And perhaps one of the best examples of that is when we're out in the field on exercise or deployed, and we're all eating from the same kitchen. The soldiers and some of the junior officers go in first. They get the freshest meals. They get the first pick of what's available for two people. The senior soldiers, the warrant officers, and the senior officers stand at the back of the queue. They let everybody else go in first, and they have what's left over, which is normally quite good, to be fair. Why do they do that? Because the soldiers and those junior officers are on the pointy end of the spear. They're the ones who are working hardest. They're the ones who need that nutrition and that energy. So they go in first. Servant leadership. And then I think about the chaplains who have gone before me. Last week was Remembrance, and I was reflecting on Jeffrey Studdart Kennedy, who some of you may have heard of, a priest, a poet, and a chaplain on the front lines of World War I. The soldiers that he was ministering to struggled to relate to the image of God, sat in some throne in heaven, surrounded by angels, all nice white clothing. How can you have white clothing in the mud of the Somme? The person that the soldiers related to is on the crucifix above my head. Christ crucified. Christ in rags. Christ naked on the cross. Christ laying down his life so that you and I can have life for all eternity. That image of Christ the soldiers could relate to, because it tied in with their experience on the battlefield. They saw people die. They saw people left for dead in the mud. They could relate to a God who came down to earth and lived as we do. When I look at the scriptures and the way that Jesus lived here on earth, Jesus didn't live in ivory palaces, didn't have nice, comfortable, warm clothing. Jesus said, "The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Jesus worked in hard manual labor in Joseph's workshop. Jesus went out to the people who were on the margins of society. He hung out with the tax collectors and the criminals because they were the ones that God loves and wants to save. So, on this day when we celebrate the feast of Christ the King, I invite you to think on that question that I posed earlier. What kind of king, what kind of sovereign do you follow? And in this week that we have ahead of us, as the year closes, as you look towards the season of Advent, we prepare for the birth of Christ. Let us give thanks. Let us thank God for the wonderful things that God has done through us over the last year. Let's rejoice in all the good things that have happened around us. Let's reflect on the times that we too have turned away from God and have not done as God commands. Let us choose to follow the servant king and to move forwards with building the kingdom of God here on earth. Because when we are obedient and listen to our God, when we follow our servant sovereign, we too can claim the words that closed the gospel this morning. Today, you will be with me in paradise. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.